Ah. So,
we've just
such
gone
blessing.
Quiet, folks. Keep talking because it takes a while for it to boot in.
Okay. Anyway, what she says is just remarkable. I don't know if you, Lori's ever gotten one, but I'm telling you, there's been some strong, hard days here lately. And what she says is just, it just lifts your spirit so much. And many times it's right on the money. I mean, right on the money. The Holy Spirit is all over that woman when she's writing that. And it's nothing but God.
She takes time and she takes time and she prays and she waits on the Lord.
Man, she does. And it's just powerful. It really is.
Hi, folks. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And this is the GFCD USA 3D Bible Study. And what makes it 3D is you guys out there with your smart devices. I can't work my thumbs as quickly as some people can. But if you can put your thumbs to work and tell us where you are, what the name of your city is, where you are in your neck of the woods, we'll acknowledge you on screen. And as we get into the Bible study, you might like to ask some questions, and we'd like to have interaction with you guys out there in the third dimension. The third dimension is only that. It's just you being able to participate, because if it was a two-dimensional Bible study, it'd just be the five of us on screen and having a Bible study amongst ourselves. But it's more than that. GFCD is more than that, because it involves you.
And
praise
Michael's
God.
Already out there watching on YouTube, so thanks, Michael. I'll do the best I can to monitor the different platforms that we've got it going out to. I haven't got my little iPad here with Restream on it, but
yeah, because we're in a different town tonight. We're actually down in Dubbo in New South Wales, about 11 hour drive south of where we live up in Queensland. So we're in New South Wales, and it's overcast outside, and expected to have about 40 mil of rain today, which will be nice here in the countryside. So right now I'm going to ask Vic and Carmen to introduce themselves to you guys out there in the third dimension. Over to you, Vic.
Hi, my name's Victor, and my wife, Carmen Saunders, and we live in a town called Schererville in Indiana, which is the Midwest part of the United States, about 45 minutes south of Lake Michigan, which is a huge lake, as a lot of people know. And we're Central Standard Time here is 6:03 in the evening here on Saturday evening. And it is kind of chilly over here, but we're thanking the Lord that we're able to be with you on this wonderful day.
Hi, my name is Carmen, and it's 33 degrees in Indiana, but it's about 72 in the house, so praise God for that.
Yeah, that sounds nice, and I absolutely love your purple shawl that you've got on there. It's beautiful.
I'm just trying to keep a little warmer.
Yeah, lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Carmen. Over to you, please, Cherry.
I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. And I guess I have that North Carolina accent, and it's been very pretty here. And I wanted to remark, I was thinking the same thing about your purple scarf. When I was going to Karis, this lady, she had a business, and it had these scarves, and in the scarves, there was a scripture that was written. Beautiful, beautiful scarves. Some scriptures that were written on it, and that looks a little bit like one of them.
This is from Israel. Excuse me, a pastor from the Philippines blessed me with it.
It's beautiful.
Praise God. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Cherry. And I want to say good day to a mate of mine over there in the USA. who's just about to celebrate a birthday. His name is Rick Bush.
Yes.
G'day, Rick. Hi, we're thinking Rick. About you. Happy birthday, Rick, for tomorrow. Okay, Gloria.
Okay, so I'll open in prayer. For those of you who haven't got your communion elements, if you're a Christian, you'd like to join us for communion, go and get something that you can use to represent the body and blood of Jesus. We just use some bread and wine or juice or crackers or whatever you'd like, and just come back and fellowship with us while I open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this precious time together. We thank you that every day is a new day with new blessings, and you just pour and continue to pour them out into our lives. How blessed we are to be in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, and the Holy Spirit, that as we read the word, Holy Spirit is inspiring us with the truth that is there and is spoken and goes out into the world to those people who are hungry, and receive it with gladness in Jesus' name. We thank you for them all.
Amen.
We praise your holy name, Lord. So my little message for communion today, when I was asking the Lord yesterday, what should I speak on? He gave me the word respect. And that was really a very appropriate word to have, because as we were driving down from Queensland to New South Wales, we went into a little town, and there were all these people who were on the street and milled around what we have here called war memorials. And the memorial has the names of the fallen soldiers in the various wars. And on Friday, it was Remembrance Day here in Australia. And I know that's also celebrated in other countries, and in the US, I think you call it Veterans Day. And so how appropriate it is that people pay respect. And the Lord gave me that word respect, that we go and pay our respects and commemorate those people who have served, who are still serving, and those who gave their ultimate sacrifice, which was their life, to help keep our countries free. And the verse that came to me was John 15:13, that says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And how appropriate it is that we are using this verse for our communion today, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid his life down for his friends, all mankind. He went to the cross and sacrificed his own body so that all mankind, past, all those before he was here, all those while he was here, and all those in the future, which are us, because we were in his future, he sacrificed his life for all of us. So we come, and as we take communion, as we hold that bread and we look at it, we are remembering the body of Jesus. We are giving him respect that he deserves, because he is already our Lord. We don't have to make him Lord. He is already our Lord. So we come and remember the body of Jesus. That the stripes that he took on his body were for our healing. He did it for us. He took the sicknesses and diseases and the infirmities that came into this world at the fall. He took them on himself. And by his stripes, we were healed. So thank you, Jesus, for your body. And what you have sacrificed, we give you respect and remember you.
Help me to remember, Lord, your broken body.
And so he also took the cup and he gave thanks, and he said, asked us to remember him on the cross, that his blood was shed for the remission of sin. So we thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made, that you took away all the sin of the world. You took my sins on the cross. You nailed them to the cross. And we thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we've been healed, and by your precious blood we've been sanctified. We will drink in remembrance of you, Lord. We praise you, for you are the risen Lord. You were buried but rose again. You are the living, risen Lord. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise your holy name, for you are worthy all of thank all you, praise Jesus. And honor and glory and respect.
Praise you, Jesus.
And we respect you, Jesus. You, Lord. Mm. We remember you. We reverence you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. You know, it's good to ponder on the words that are used when we're taking communion. You know, I was just listening to that verse that Gloria read for us, that, you know, no greater love is that someone should lay down their life for their friends. But, you know, a man might lay down his life for his friends, but would he lay down his life for his enemies? You know, we were alienated with God when Jesus laid down his life for us. Mm. Kind of, when you really think about it, it takes it to a different level, doesn't it?
Mm.
And then the next thing that struck me was when Gloria said that we don't make Jesus Lord. And yet when we come into the household of God, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, the Lordship of Jesus is what we have to confess. But are we making him Lord? No, we're not. He's already Lord of Lords, King of Kings, whether we accept it or not. What we're doing is acknowledging that Lordship. The day will come that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But what we need to make sure of is that we do it this side of the grave. That's something to really ponder. Right now, I'm going to ask Kathleen to introduce herself to you guys out there in the third dimension. We all know Kathleen, Pastor Kathleen Wall from Bunbury in Western Australia. Over to you, Kathleen.
Hi, everybody. Well, good morning. It's a beautiful blue sky today, and praise the Lord. We're blessed with another day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. Amen. Yes. All right. We're starting a Bible study.
A new book. We're starting the book of Hebrews.
Oh, we're
today.
Starting the book of Hebrews today. Yes. That's right. Yes. USA Bible study, Hebrews 1:1.
Yes.
So before we go to, I'll share the, on screen, and I'm speaking to the people out there in the third dimension. Hebrews. Chapter 1 is a very, very important book, in the book of Hebrews, because as we go to the other verses it uses, and you turn the page over and you're into chapter 2 and then again into chapter 3, it says, therefore, and as Pastor Tom Hawkins in the UK Bible study has pointed out to me, when you see that word therefore, you need to go back a page or so to see what it is there for, you know. And so looking at this Hebrews chapter 1, we need to, it is kind of the, there's a foundation there. It sets out in this whole chapter, there is a huge emphasis on angels. In Hebrews chapter 1. I don't know whether you've ever noticed it before. Yeah, you could read it and just gloss over it. But it's there for a particular reason. The reason is that when the author wrote this book of Hebrews, and by the way, we don't know who the author is. Most people think that it's Paul because the writing style is so similar to Paul's. But when whoever the author was, when he wrote the book of Hebrews, this ministry was not to the Gentiles. Hebrews tells us that. It was to Jewish believers who had come out of Judaism. They'd forsaken Judaism, because you can't be in Judaism and in Christianity. You have to forsake Judaism to step into Christianity if you were ever a Jew. We Gentiles were never Jews. We were never under the law of Moses. But the audience here, you've got to remember, the audience here had come out of Judaism, had stepped into Christianity. And at that particular time, the author was addressing an issue. Now, he addressed it so well that I don't believe it's an issue today. That issue was that the believers of that time had a tendency to place angels in a higher place than they should have been. So this chapter one is really setting out where Jesus fits. Can I call it the in the kingdom of God, you know, the hierarchy in the kingdom? Of course, God is at the top, but where does Jesus fit in? Where do angels fit in, and where does man fit in? Now, this is all addressed in Hebrews chapter one. Now, the reason I'm pointing out this at the first is we're going to do a Bible study. And as we do the Bible study, if you just kind of keep this in the back of your mind, it'll be very helpful, because as we go into the other verses, then you can see the other verses are built on, not other verses, the other chapters are built on this chapter one. Okay. So right now, we'll go to chapter 1, verse 1.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to give a big wave out to Dana. And you too, Christiana, if you're watching as
Hi,
well.
Hi, Christiana. Hi, okay. Dana.
They're over
Hi,
there Michael. In Chicago.
Okay, so where are we going? Share screen.
Yes.
And, okay. Oh, that's good. I've got it up at the right spot.
Okay. And Pauline. Hi, Pauline. Pauline's in Wales. Thank you, Pauline, for joining us.
Must be early for Pauline.
Yes.
Either that or very late. Okay, well, let's just read verses 1 and 2. And then we'll go to Vic first, then to Carmen, then to Cherry, and lastly to Kathleen, please.
Okay.
Just one and two.
1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds.
Over to you, Vic, please.
Yes, Hebrews is a very, very powerful masterpiece to me, like Romans is. And they say that the writer made it an emphasized on the deity of Jesus and who he is. And with that said, you know, you look at it and it's all about Jesus, all about him. And so no one knows who the author is, like been mentioned. It's not really that important. What is important that we do have it. And, but, you know, everyone has their opinion and so on. But when I started studying it, I looked and I noticed that Hebrews, when you define Hebrews, is talking about those who have crossed over. Mm. And so with that said, everything that is symbolized in the Old Testament is pretty much the shadows of Jesus. And it's like we're now crossed over, if you will, from the old to the new. We're now passed over from darkness into light. We're passed over from unbelief or to faith. And so with that all said, it's powerful that the writer explicitly brings forth Jesus in such powerful ways that to try and encourage the Hebrew Christians, because they were getting persecuted for the fact that Judaizers were coming behind them and trying to persuade them to follow the law of Moses. Don't you know that that's what you're made of? And you know, you have to have that in place. You cannot leave it. And follow after who? You know, no, he was just this and that. No, this writer explains who Jesus truly is, the image of the Almighty God, the glory of who he is, the character of God in the flesh. And so with that said, it says that Jesus is the language of God. And so, you know, when I was really thinking about it, it says that, let me back up here. It says that, getting back to the Jewish, the Hebrew believers, they were being persecuted. And now, even today, you know, you can talk to people about God, or you tell your family about God is one thing. But when you mention the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. that defines the fine, that's the fine line right there. All of a sudden, it just shakes everyone's inner core. Go, oh, or even have your, you know, when I sometimes wear the shirt, you know, Jesus Christ and so on. Not to try, you know, taunt people or anything, but, you know, I wear it to, you know, that I'm, you know, advertising my faith and so on. It's just a shirt that has the name of Jesus on it. And people kind of like, I went to the doctor's office a couple weeks ago, and she kept staring at my shirt. And, you know, and here she is, a doctor and all, and she's over like, you know, and she was listening to what I was telling her, but she kept looking at what was written on there, you know, everlasting life and so on. Because Jesus defines it all. You cannot take Jesus out of the equation at all. And Hebrews is filled with Jesus. And the same thing with the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, you know, with this here, what it's doing is actually being like a thread and needle. It's actually pulling together the old with the new, showing substance, showing the shadows of Jesus's come, Jesus Christ, through all of the prophets that have been prophesying about this seed. And finally he comes. And, you know, and they only gave it in part. They would only say a few things that we have the awesome opportunity to know it for ourselves today fulfilled. And so with that all said, we are so blessed to be able to be a part of this, because without Jesus in our lives would be total failure. I would be dead right now. 50 years ago, I was shot in the chest and all like that. And one of the things, I did not go over there and say, oh, Lord, save me. I just said, well, I guess I'm going to hell. And God still saved, God protected my life. But I thank God that I'm still living today, 69 years old, and still full of energy and the life of God that's on the inside of me. And so what a lot of Jews were told was that they thought that Jesus was just a Catholic belief. It was just about, you know, oh, or they even thought that he was Italian. You know, they didn't know any, have any idea who he really truly was. That's the reason why when you minister to a person that's Jewish and so on, you do it in a certain way, a different way, so that they can really see Jesus, that he's really Jewish. And so when they start reading Matthew, ones that start coming, you know, start getting interested and come into the faith, they will start reading Matthew and say, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, oh my gosh, he's Jewish. They've been lied to for so long. And so that's what the enemy's doing, was doing in the days, you know, when it first started over there and with the Hebrews, you know, with the Judaizers going in through all the towns and so on, trying to persuade them, you got to do this and that. You cannot mix the law and Jesus Christ. You cannot. It won't do a thing for you. One, it can't change you on the inside. And number two, Jesus already fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it. Everything's complete in Christ Jesus. And that's what I love about the Hebrew writing. And it says that, I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, thanks, Vic. That was great. Just before I go to you, Carmen, if I could just throw in my two bobs worth. I'm just reading verses 1 and 2. And you know, it's, to me, it just like stands out in neon lights. Because when Jesus began his ministry. This is even before he went to the cross. Things changed. Because if you're looking at Hebrews 1, it talks about what how it was. He says, and you've got to remember that he's speaking to Jews who were raised up in the synagogues, who knew the law of Moses. And he says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers, that's their fathers, by the prophets. Right? So that's how God was doing it in the past. He spoke to us because he couldn't speak to them, you know, personally, because they were spiritually dead. So he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, right? That's how it was in the past. Big change here. Hath in these last days spoken to us, how? By his son. This is the major of these first two verses. The words of Jesus have been raised above those of the law and the prophet by God himself. That's what I get out of these.
Amen.
Over to you, Carmen.
Yes, I want to read from the Living Letters. And verse 1 says, long ago, God spoke in many different ways to our father through the prophets in vision, dreams, and even face to face, telling them little by little about his plan. Verse 2, but now in these days, he spoke to us through his son, to whom he has given everything and through whom he has made the world everything there is. You know, with verse 1, it says that he spoke to them. Well, when God spoke to them, he wasn't living inside of them because they were not saved. So to us now, that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks to our heart because God lives in us. We are his temple. So the New Testament is awesome because in the Old Testament, God could not live in them because they were not saved. And then Jesus speaks to us directly to our heart. Thank God for the prophets, but thank God that we don't have to depend on the prophet. We depend on the word, and we depend on the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to us in our heart. And how do we know how to make decision if God is speaking to us? Well, one thing is that we follow peace. And when he speaks to us, we sense that we know because we are his children. He says, You are my children, you will know my voice. So we know the voice, our father. And there's gotta be careful nowadays because I've been hearing some, I don't want to go into details, but I believe they're trying to bring the gospel in a different way and not using the name of Jesus. And you gotta be careful. Because when you bring the gospel, you got to make sure that you bring Jesus because he's the gospel. He's God in the flesh. And there's many gods out there. A lot of different religions, they believe in God. Even a rat can be a god. But you got to know that it's Jesus Christ. And he is the only way. And there's no other god. And if anybody doesn't bring the name of Jesus when they preach the gospel, be careful. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about anyone else. The gospel without Jesus is not a gospel.
Amen.
It's like, you know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But there is no other name under heaven that a man might be saved than through that name of Jesus. Yeah, no, that was powerful. Thanks, Carmen. Over to you, please, Cherry.
Well, you know, I was listening to a little bit of everybody, and I was doing a little bit of research about Hebrews and Galatians, and when after some comments have been made, I'm inclined to share that. And they in some comments that were made about Galatians and Hebrews, it was written by Paul, but Paul doesn't say that here. It's not really said that he's the at all the author. And from what I studied was that this is written to the Jewish it's written to Jews, and you know some of them were very mad at him, and so here he is. He's talking straight to. It seems as though he is really talking the language of reaching out to the Jewish community. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. And so there he's relating to the Jewish people right there. And but he's not saying that he's the one that's writing it. It's not 100% sure that he's the author of this, you know, book. But this I just think that's very interesting about the fact that he doesn't say who he is the author, but he goes straight into the fact that Jesus is the superior. He's the covenant. This is the old covenant's past, and this is a superior that he is the one that has been appointed. He is the one that has all the heir of all things in whom he made the worlds. And I think you stopped at that scripture, correct?
Yes, it was just 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know how you look at that, Gary, but I just, it just seems like he is really speaking to the Jewish, the Jews right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I admit the majority of people tend to think that Paul is the author of this, but we have no way of being certain that
that's right.
The
that's true.
The certainly the writing style is very, very similar, because I've studied in depth, particularly the Book of Romans, and I can see parallels there all the way through. However, the message that Paul is bringing, I just put this out there, could have been reiterated and directed towards the Jews. And I think particularly, if you go back to Galatians, in one verse in Galatians, he emphasizes the fact that on this occasion, he is writing with his own hand. Well, the mere fact that he bothered to emphasize the fact that on that particular occasion, he was writing that letter with his own hand, would lead me to believe that sometimes he dictated to somebody else who was more efficient, more proficient in the actual writing side of it. You know, like if I was to dictate to Gloria, she can write so much faster than me and so much better than me, that it would be more efficient. Now, if Gloria had been sitting and taking dictation from me over and over and over, and she's like thinking to herself, I need to get this message to the Jews. You know, I know Paul wasn't called to go to the Jews. He was called to go to the Gentiles, but this same message needs to go to the Jews. I'll pen it. Right. So you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah. That's sort of what I'm grabbing at something, but that's the way I was trying to say. And it's not,
saying it wasn't Paul, but for my way of thinking, Paul has got a real clear writing style. This is the same writing style.
Yeah.
He also usually starts off by putting out his credentials. It's not there in Hebrews. He doesn't even say that it's Paul, so we've got no way of knowing. But Paul's usual writing style is I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by God, not by man. So he really sets out in the first 2-3 verses his credentials. then he identifies by the name of the book who it's being written to. Well, that is done, right? It's written to the Hebrews. We know who the audience is. So we know who the audience is. We might not know who the author is, but we can see the message really, really clearly. Okay. Might go to Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Yes. Yeah. Kathleen, you've been sitting there patiently.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise the Lord. I don't think it really matters who wrote it. I'm all what Vic said. Because as far as I'm concerned, Hebrews is as much here for me as it was for the Jews. And it reveals our high priest. It reveals Jesus's ministry now. And I'm more interested in talking about Jesus. And I just love what Vic said. We've passed over. We've passed over. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. And I just loved it. It was just so anointed, Vic, what you were saying. It wasn't just talk. It was just so good, because I'm here for Jesus and I just want to talk about him. And I'm just going to read it now from the New Living Translation. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. I don't have a problem here because I realize he is addressing a Jewish congregation. But I'm in these last days, so verse 2 applies to me. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance. And through the son, he created the universe. Through the son, he created the universe. See, it's all about Jesus, like Vic was saying. It's all about Jesus. We can't take Jesus out. It's, and as Gary says, the gospel unto salvation. And that is the gospel that we're here to preach, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And without Jesus, we have nothing. Nothing. There's no turning back. We've passed over, as the whole chorus says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I'll leave you there, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. That was great. Okay, we're going to read two more verses, Gloria.
Yes.
And so and verses four. 3 and 4.
Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay, we'll just stop there. Yeah, I know I could keep reading more, but...
Do you want me to finish 4?
No, because it rolls into 5 and okay. onwards. So right, we'll just deal with those two verses.
3.
Yeah, from 3 and, was it 3 and 4?
I only read 3.
Oh, you only read 3. No, I want you to read 4. Start again. 3 and 4, please, okay. Gloria.
Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Over to you, Vic, please.
Well, just briefly, it just all explains right there that Jesus is above everything. It says that by his stripes were healed. He's above, he's the most high God, the living God that has a, we have a relationship with. He's not a living God. Why? Because he took all of our sickness and pain and shame and guilt and condemnation upon himself, that we're able to experience the life of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And it says that his name is above every name, that whoever confesses his name shall be saved. And so with that all said, you know, to give the name, like I said, I mentioned earlier about his name is a high standard of God. It's the character of God, because salvation, you know, Yeshua, which is his name in the Hebrew, is talking about he's our salvation. He's our peace. He's everything. We're all wrapped up in flesh right there. And to for an angel to come and tell Mary, his name shall be Jesus. Well, guess what? He came with a proclamation saying, here comes God in the flesh. And so get ready, world. You know, here he is. And because this was what everyone's been waiting on through the centuries, through the prophets giving the word and saying, hey, you know, Jesus, you know, everything that was mentioned, everything that happened, Rahab with the, you know, helping the army, Israeli army, and how she helped them and so on, and how she's even in the word of God saying that without her, you know, that because of her action, that she's bringing forth the seed. She's part of that, you know? And so through the centuries, people kept looking and looking and listening until finally now, like my wife said, we have him now to be able to live in us and to walk with us and to help us in this time of need or any season that we face. And so, you know, it to me is like he's 100% God and 100% man. He had to go through the things that a man goes through, a human being goes through, and know exactly what we go through, because he had to get in the territory of the overcome Satan was it as a man. And so, you know, he knows what we go through. He experienced it. But he, at the same time, too, brought forth the kingdom of heaven by saying, be healed, you're set free, you're loosed, and so on, bringing the Father into the picture now, too, because no one knew God as Father. He said, I came to bring you the Father. When you see me, you see the Father in the flesh. I mean, oh, my gosh, I can go. I'll just leave it there, Gary.
No, that's, again... That's really, really good. Thanks, Carmen. Thanks, Vic. Over to you, Carmen, please.
Yes, I'm reading from the commentary. Verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, not only is Jesus God a spokesman, he is God himself. Mm. The very God who spoke in the Old Testament time, he is eternal. He works with the Father in creating the world. He is the full revelation of God. That's what the word says. And all that I read there is inside of us because we are his temple. I keep saying it because a lot of time people feel like God is so far away. God doesn't hear me. I don't sense God. You don't have to sense God. If you are a Christian, God lives in you. You are his temple. All you got to do is just believe and trust and have faith. Have faith, because after all, it is his faith that he gives us to believe.
Amen.
So Jesus is God, full God, and he's our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Carmen. Thanks, Vic. You see, the overview, we have to, you know, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. What we're doing right now is what I'd call a micro Bible study. You know, we're studying out the individual verses, pulling them apart and getting an in-depth understanding of it. But to rightly divide the word of truth, you've got to have the overview. So if I can, if you'll permit me, I just want to prepare you for what is coming in chapter 2 of Hebrews. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, there's translations of the Bible that say that Jesus was created a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now, to me, this is wrong, and I can prove that it's wrong, that there's an error in the translation in chapter 2. I think it's around about verse 4 or something like that. Now, the reason that I bothered to point this out is that it's this chapter 1 that sets out, Vic has already pointed out that Jesus is above the angels. We've already covered that. As we go more into this, the reason that the angels are mentioned in so much detail is the fact that God, through the Holy Spirit in the writing, the Spirit-inspired writings of Hebrews, is setting out that Jesus is above the angels. Now, you might have noticed that I said for the suffering of death, right? The reason you got to get your head around the fact that the deity of Jesus is the Word made flesh. So that is the deity. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word did not have a beginning. In the beginning was. The Word didn't have a beginning. The Word doesn't have an end. He is eternal, eternal God. So the deity of Jesus is the Word. The Word had no beginning and no end. However, Jesus was created. That's the man side. See, Jesus, why was Jesus created? Because Jesus had to be the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Jesus had to be able to die. God cannot die. The deity side of Jesus cannot die. Yeah. I know it's a tilt, but you've got to get your head around it, right? Jesus, in this first chapter of Hebrews, it's setting out that Jesus is above the angels. And when we come to chapter 2, it's so important that you have established the fact that you're believing that Jesus is above the angels, because it actually says in the Bible, because of a poor translation, that Jesus was created a little lower than the angels. That's incorrect. It should say a little lower than God or his deity. Why? For the suffering of death, so that he could die. That's how it all fits. So I'm giving you a little insight into what's coming in chapter 2, because it's established here in chapter 1, and you've got to get your head around chapter 1 to be able to rightly divide chapter 2. So just hugely important. The reason all this talk about angels is not about the angels. It's about the positioning of Jesus being above the angels. So let's just move forward. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cherry's next. Over to you, Cherry.
Yeah, Gary, just like what, he is the Word. And see, he upholds all things by his power. And then it says right here that he sat down. I love that. He purged our sins and he sat down at the right hand of a majesty on high. So that says that he did it all. He was the incarnate God. He's the one that died on the cross for us. And then I know you're talking about going into the rest part about the angels. Well, it's the angels that respond to God, his written word, and him as he is the Word. He responds to the Word of God. And Jesus walked on this earth as God. He was the walking Word of God. And so the angels respond. They're underneath, because the angels respond to the living Word. I think I shared, you know, when we speak, when we pray, if we use the Word, it's like he responds to those angels, just go straight out, shoot out into the universe and respond to that Word. I'm sorry, I got ahead, but he is the Word, and he did it all when he sat down at the right hand of God.
Thanks, Cherry. Over to you, Kathleen, please.
Well, I disagree with what Cherry and Vic and Carmen have been saying, and because the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And, you know, as Gary was saying, God is a spirit. You know, Gary said that God cannot die. And so, because my Bible tells me that God is a spirit and we worship him in spirit and truth. So that spirit, the Spirit of God, had to take on flesh, and that flesh was Jesus, the Son. And he radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his commands. See, he sustains everything by the mighty power of his commands. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he's already done it. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor on the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Why? Jesus's whole ministry today, we've now come into his ministry. His ministry today is as our high priest, and he ever lives now to make intercession for us. In other words, he's bringing us before the Father, because we are now his children. We are now his offspring, and he delights in us. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. Well, another great Bible study, and thank you very much to the ministers on screen. You got anything to say,
no,
Gloria?
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you to close this Bible study with prayer?
Yes.
Just for the people out there in the third dimension, because we're out of town, we're not in our usual studio, we haven't had the monitor that we've got to monitor your questions, but we will answer your questions during the week between now and when we go live again next week. So if you've got a question, the best way to put it to me is to send me an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. And we've got time for a salvation prayer here. Could I ask Cherry, would you be able to minister to the people out there in the third dimension and lead them in a salvation prayer, please, Cherry?
Yes. You know, if what we have said has touched your heart, the Lord is always there. He wants you to know him. And it is a simple, he has open arms of simplicity for you to receive. The Bible says that if you ask for him to come into your heart and you believe in Romans 10:9-10, if you believe in your heart. And so we're just going to pray a simple prayer. And Father, I just pray right now that you say in your word that if you ask you to come into my heart, ask that person, whoever is out there, anywhere out there, Father, I pray that right now they make that simple prayer that, Father, you just come into my heart right now. And I ask you right now, I am making this declaration that Jesus is Lord. Amen. He died on the cross for me. And he now makes intercession for me. Right now, I have stepped into eternity. My God has forgiven me. And I pray for you, Father, that you just set me free and you show me who you are. And I accept you right now as King over my life. Help me to know you more. Help me to hear your voice, because I know now that you are living inside of me. And if you've prayed that prayer, he is your shepherd now. He is your shepherd. I just invite you to continue to watch GFCD. Come log back on with us. Learn the word, because he is there. I gave him my life when I was 10 years old, and I have never regretted it. Never in a million years. Mm-hmm. He walks and talks with me. And if you listen and you step in and you get in the word, his presence will be in your life forever. And what's going on in this world is nothing compared to what's going to happen in eternity. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, he loves you. Mm-hmm. You are now the angels rejoicing in heaven.
Amen.
That's in Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cherry. Thank you so much. It was such a touching prayer. If you guys, if you responded to that prayer, if you prayed along with Cherry, then just pencil this down. The date, because that's the date that you invited Jesus into your heart. The verses are Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That's what Cherry's prayer was based on. And it says that salvation is in two places. It's in your heart and it's out of your mouth. You actually have to audibly invite Jesus into your heart. As Gloria said earlier, you're not making him Lord. You're accepting him as your Lord. You're giving him lordship over your life. You're not doing it as that song said, I'm doing it my way. You're now doing it his way, because you've given him lordship over your life. And another requirement is that you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead by God the Father. Right. Because without the resurrection, our salvation is futile, because Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead. And we will soon follow to be in his presence. Amen. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much to all the ministers on the screen for joining us. We've got family commitments today. We're down visiting Gloria's son, so we need to get out and mingle with the family. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you this time next week. And we haven't closed with prayer yet.
No. Would you like to do that tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for the ministers on the screen. They're such a blessing to us and to the world who is hungry to hear the word. We thank you for them. We thank you for this time of fellowship with not only the believers on the screen, but the believers out there in the third dimension. And we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll see you all this time next week. Bye, God bless. Bye
for
now.
Have a great week. Bless you all. Thank you. Bye.